Children of God should expect certain things as we look. And we should expect that we're going to receive much like what Jesus went through. And so as we see, children of God should expect, as we read in these scriptures in verse 3, to be as Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners. What kind of hostility did Jesus endure from sinners? False accusations. They ultimately killed him, right? Hostility that was just undeserved. I mean, he was trying to do good things for everybody, right? And yet, anytime he spoke the truth, there were people that got really upset. Does that ever happen to followers of Christ, do you think? So don't feel it to be unusual. If you're doing, I mean, if you're actually doing the right thing and you come against some hostility from sinners, we shouldn't become weary and discouraged in our souls. We just need to consider, if we're a child of God, we're going to receive something somewhat like he receives as well. He told us we would. So actually, how about this? Whenever we begin to recognize that's happening to us, Jesus actually told us in the Sermon on the Mount that we should rejoice. Now, that's a little bit hard to do. I'm gonna admit that for myself, but I can tell you the only time it's really hard for me to do is whenever I'm thinking in the flesh. But whenever I begin to go deep in the Spirit and walk with Jesus in that spiritual well-being, in that spiritual realm, through the Holy Spirit, it makes it a whole lot easier to understand why that may be happening. You know, the darkness doesn't like the light, because the darkness sees that the light exposes the wrongdoing. And so, just as Jesus endured hostility from sinners, we've got to understand the children of God is going to as well. You know, sometimes whenever people present the gospel to another, we don't give them the whole picture. I think it's very important that we should give the whole picture to even young Christians. Otherwise, what happens is, if we go away from accepting Christ and all of a sudden we come against hostility from sinners, we can become so discouraged that we just want to abort mission. I must be doing something wrong, and start to turn away. But I think we should be encouraged. You know, whenever people come to Christ in China, it's interesting, they immediately teach them how to share their new faith, and it's a requirement that they list at least 3 people that they're going to share their new faith with the very next day. They don't know the whole Bible, and it's a persecuted land, but they want to get them up on their feet right away to share their faith, knowing that they are going to come across some hostility whenever that comes to happen. In Indonesia, I saw a whole group of boys that were getting ready to be baptized, anywhere from a teenager down to about a 10-year-old boy, and they had them all there, and the pastor was talking to them and getting ready for their baptism, and he was encouraging them to make a list of 30 people that they would witness to and start out with the first 3 people that they thought were least likely to try to kill them. And that's with a new Christian who's just being ready to be baptized. I'm afraid we're so removed from that thought that as soon as we feel some hostility, we think, oh, I must have done something wrong. If you're standing with God in the truth, in love, in gentleness, you're not doing anything wrong. Now, if it's coming out of hatred and hostility ourselves, then we're doing something wrong. But if we're really living like Christ and you feel like you may be experiencing a little bit of hostility, then you need to rejoice. So let's continue to be committed to that, because I think this is something that a child of God should expect. Children of God should also expect to struggle against sin. That next verse really gets into that in verse 4. Yet you've not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Striving against it. Are you striving against sin? I think in this, we might get the immediate meaning from this by the verse before that, you know, having hostility from sinners. So this could mean striving against sin, the sin of others, obviously, would be a general implication that we would get from it. But I can tell you as a Christian, we're going to find very quickly, we don't just have to strive against the sin from others. We got to still strive against the sin that's in us. Amen. And so what we need to do is realize that this is going to be a common thing that all children of God, all the sons and daughters of God are going to have to continue to do and strive against sin. We're going to have a struggle against it. But don't give up, because we get delivered fully. In a sense, we're already in the spiritual realm, setting in the high place with Jesus. It's just going to take a little while for the rest of us to catch up to it. And so continue in your struggle against sin. Children of God should also expect to be disciplined by our Father. You know, this is a hard one sometimes for us to be able to communicate in our world, because some of us had good fathers and some of us didn't have good fathers. Some of us may not have really had a father figure in our life, and so it's hard for us to communicate. But what I really want us to know is our Heavenly Father is perfect. Can I get an amen on that? He is perfect. If your earthly father wasn't very good, I'm sorry. If your earthly father wasn't really involved in your life, I'm double sorry. But I don't want you to judge our Heavenly Father by that standard. Discipline by the Heavenly Father is meant in love. He does that in love, and he does it for everybody who is truly his child. And so it goes through that in verses 5 and following, that we should not despise the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening can mean discipline, the discipline of the Lord. I like to kind of focus on that idea of discipline, because discipline has a root to it. And same root that we have for disciple. It's to learn. You see, God's not just smacking his children around. The whole Heavenly Father's not just smacking them around because they got on his nerves one day. You know, in Islam, that's what they think. They wouldn't dare call him father, but they think that their God is one who's kind of capricious. If he's having a bad day, he might punish you a whole lot worse for something than another day. But I want you to know our Heavenly Father is perfect. He always has love in his heart toward us, and he will never chasten us for something that isn't meant to teach us how to grow. That's what it's all about. He's wanting us to grow. It's not about if you pass, I won't chasten you, but if you fail, I'm going to chasten you. It's not like that. It's all about him discipling us and disciplining us properly. And so therefore, when we look at it like that, remember that the scripture has already told us in Proverbs not to despise that when we're being disciplined. Amen? God has a good purpose in it. Can you imagine what we would be like if God never disciplined us? If he never taught us? We would be a bunch of spoiled children. How would many of us like to see spoiled children? Okay, I didn't get any amens. I gave it a long time, too. Yeah, well, God doesn't like it anymore to see us being spoiled children. And so he disciplines us so that we can learn. And I love verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord, for chastening us whenever it directs us in the right way. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Sounds painful, doesn't it? It is sometimes. But I can guarantee you, he won't give us anything that isn't ultimately going to make us better, stronger, more complete if we'll just stay close to him. Trust him. It's when we turn away from him that we end up in all kinds of trouble. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I've had people that say, Pastor, I just can't believe that right now. I'm hurting so bad. And I remind them that the only way it's going to work out for their good is if they continue to love God. If we turn away from God, then we cannot claim that as a promise. Now, I'm not saying that God ever leaves us and we can turn back, but I can tell you where we're going to find our blessing, our growth, the good in it, is if we continue to love Him. And the only way we can continue to love Him is if we trust Him. You know, he goes on with this longer explanation there as we look at the fuller picture from verses 7 through 10, which I didn't print in your bulletin for today. But, it talks about if we endure chastening. Do you see that? We've actually got to continue on with Him. If we endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? You know, we're losing that in our culture nowadays. And so it's hard for us to relay these thoughts to others. I can tell you, my dad wasn't perfect by any means, but he definitely did chasten me. You know, I had to be disciplined. And sometimes I felt like it was a little unfair or that it wasn't always right. But I can tell you one thing, I had no choice but to endure. Because, whenever I woke up the next morning, he was still going to be there. You know, when you wake up tomorrow morning, our Heavenly Father's still going to be there. While you sleep, he's still there. You can't hide from him. You can't just, jump off the ship. And Jonah tried it. He said, throw me overboard and it'll all be over. The storm is because I'm disobeying God. Just go ahead and kill me. I'd rather die than obey God. In essence, that's what he was saying. And so they threw him over. They said, well, I sure hope your God don't get us back for this. But hey, if you're the problem, whoosh. Got to save our skins here. And so they did. They threw him over. And y'all know the story, right? God had already prepared a great fish to come along, swoop up Jonah, keep him there for 3 days, and give him a little time to change his mind. He was in time out, folks. And you know what? He just paddled him right on over to the place where he could return to the original plan and go to Nineveh and preach the message that he had been given. Spit him out, a little slimy and gross. He'd had a little time to think. And his heart wasn't totally in it, but that chastening was an important time for him. And what we need to understand is even though our parents may not have done it perfectly, and it gets into that in verses 8 and down, he says, but if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate, not sons, concerning our relationship with God. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? God is perfect. You know, even though my earthly father wasn't, I got to tell you a quick little story, and you'll see how it kind of connects here in a minute. One time, my dad, he was really big on finishing the job, and so we were cutting firewood one night to provide for our family. And it was late in the evening, and things didn't go well, and we only had a two-wheel drive truck, and it was this time of the year whenever it freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws. Well, it thawed, and we got stuck really bad. And so, I was probably about a 10-year-old kid, and I was over there thinking, yeah, we just need to throw a load off, get the truck out, and go home. I'm hungry. Well, so we threw the whole load off. We jacked the truck up, put stuff underneath tires, eventually got it out. And he pulled it up a pretty good ways, probably from here to the sound booth or maybe a little further. And he looked at me and my sister and he said, okay, get it loaded back up and then we'll head home. I mean, it was dark by now. And I'm sitting over there thinking, this is craziness. And I know what my dad was thinking now. He was thinking, we got bills to pay. And I'm over there thinking, this is just craziness. Boy, I tell you, I rebelled against my dad, and he said, we're not going home until you do it. Of course, he worked with us, and so my sister, she was the oldest child, and she had already been chasing a little bit more than me, And so she started carrying the wood, and she kept hitting me with her elbow when she went past. She said, come on, Johnny, we'll get it done faster if we do it together. And I said, I'm not doing it. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'll just walk home. We were miles from the house, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I started walking. And I'm walking up this gravel road. It was a pretty long hill to get out of there, and I got in pretty good ways from the truck to where I couldn't hear him anymore, and I started thinking, oh, no, what have I done? You know, I'm on this road, and I'm not going to be able to walk all the way home, and they're going to get finished with that, and they're going to be coming up the same road. And I'll tell you, I wanted to go off and hide in the woods somewhere. But, you know, I started realizing this was a really bad idea because I have nowhere else to go. And so I can still remember I'd made it about to the top of the hill and I saw headlights coming. And it couldn't be anybody else but my dad. And I can still remember I just felt from about this fall. And as he got closer, I kept feeling smaller and smaller until finally he stopped. The door opened up, and I just stood there with holding my breath. And I didn't know what was going to come next. And my sister looked at me, and she said, get in, stupid. I had to do all your work. I got in, I sat down, and I'm waiting for the response from my dad, and we drove down the road, and we went all the way home. And you know, my dad never had to say a word. I never tried anything like that again because I had nowhere else to go. Thank God that I learned that at an early age. Because you know, there's a whole lot of these folks that we see that are walking the streets and they have nowhere else to go and they just don't realize it yet. We need to introduce them to Christ so that they can see he's over it all. So, you know, even though our parents may not have done it well, they may not have done it right, I want you to know, as verse 10 says, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, God, is doing it for our profit. Remember that. That we may be partakers of his holiness. Do you want to be a partaker of his holiness? Do you want to taste holiness? Do you want a glimpse of holiness? We understand so little of holiness, but I want you to know that as you walk forward, allowing God to chasten, allowing God to train, allowing God to disciple and discipline us, as we keep going, we're getting closer and closer to his holiness. And you know, someday we're going to be with him. We have nowhere else to go. So let's go with him. Let's be joyful receivers of that discipline, because you know what? Even though we may expect as a child of God that it'll be painful at times. It says that in verse 11, now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, here's my praise God, here's my goal, is that I don't have to keep getting trained over and over again in the same area. I want to take that painful training, and maybe I can get through it, you know, once or twice and move on. That's what I want to grow in, my ability to hear from God. And so we've got to understand that Jesus knows our pain. Even though he lived a perfect life, he purposely came so that he could know our pain. You see, Jesus had painful times as well. I want you to think about him on the cross there. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the whole land. Do you know he was bearing our sin at that moment? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That should have been in red as well. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt our pain. He took it upon himself. He allowed his Father to pour the wrath out on him, because an undeserved curse would not take root. He didn't deserve it. That's what the Bible says. And so since he didn't deserve it, he could take it upon himself, and he would die, but only for 3 days. He would rise again. And he would pay for that sin of mankind for all who would believe and trust him. You see, it isn't for the painful times that we do it, but we need to stay faithful for the joy that is set before us. You see, Jesus took our pain. He felt it. He knows it better than any of us. But if we back up to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the verse before today's, this is how we get through it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it for the joy that was set before him. Let us do it for the joy that is set before us. I'm going to finish with Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When you feel that discipline, I want you to know it's coming from Abba, Father. That word Abba is a term of endearment. It is the more informal way of addressing lovingly, Daddy. It's your daddy. You can trust him. He's only going to give us what we need to help us grow. And in the end, I can tell you, we will not be sitting in heaven looking back, regretting what we had to go through to get there. We're going to be like thankful. It's going to be worth it. Let's walk with him. Let's endure that. Let's not get discouraged whenever everything isn't turning out exactly like we thought it would. Let's just know at the end of the path, it's going to be worth it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us what your Father is like. Because as a child of God, he's our Father too. God, right now we're just getting a glimpse, but someday we're going to see it fully. Just how kind, just how merciful, just how awesomely loving you are. God, Father God, help us to accept your discipline now. Help us not to turn away. Help us not to misunderstand you. Lord, help us to also know that you are judge. Anyone who is not your child will not inherit eternal life. Lord, help us to willingly put ourselves under your discipline today. Help us to willingly become a child of God through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believing, trusting in the atoning work of what you did on the cross. Help us to give everything to you and trust you. And whenever we have to go through and endure hostility from sinners and the struggle against sin and being disciplined, even disciplined from you, Lord, even when it's painful, help us not to be tempted to turn away, but help us to keep going straight toward that finish, because it's going to be worth it. Thank you, Lord, that you love us too much to leave us like we were when we first came to you. You want us to grow. Thank you, Lord. Now help us to willingly walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.